Right now, though, is our favorite time of the week because we are joined in the studio by Chapel Hill Public Library Director Susan Brown for another round of Talking Books and the director of the Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, Meg McGurk, also joining us here in the studio and trying to trick me by switching mics real quick, but I saw what you did, and now we've got the right microphone on. How are you guys?
Wonderful. Thank you for having us.
I'm sorry, you forgot one piece of her intro. It's director of the Downtown Partnership and fellow Hokie.
And fellow Hokie. Are you both Hokies?
We are indeed both Hokies.
I feel like I'm outnumbered.
Together.
Watch yourself.
Yeah, there's probably bourbon.
Wait a minute,
what
is the plural of Hokie? Is it Hokie I, like with two I's, or is it actually just Hokies?
Hokie E. There's an umlaut, actually.
Oh, no, I assumed that over the K, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
That is how the Hokies do it. My mic keeps dropping.
Yeah, you just need to turn that.
Not literally. That way?
Yeah. You'd think going to Virginia Tech, you'd be more technical.
Hey, we're right here.
Yeah.
Yes, we are here. It's Wednesday at 4:30.
Yes, and that means it's time for Talking Books, except today we're talking nerds.
It's a nerd night
takeover. We're actually usually talking nerds anyway, right?
Actually, I'm usually talking with a nerd.
Yes, as am I.
I'm just
but now there's
back.
Two.
Yeah. You don't need me.
Yes,
okay,
we are
so
here.
Nerd night. We're
it's a nerd night takeover.
Yes.
Because tonight is the very first.
The very first.
Nerd Night Chapel Hill.
Nice.
Which is a thing now here in Chapel Hill.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
So I'll talk a little bit about Nerd Night and how we got together, and then Meg can talk about the nuts and bolts and where
awesome.
It's going to be and when and all that.
Cool. So yeah, go for it.
Nerd Night happens all over the country, or actually all over the world. There's like 90-plus sites for it. And it was started, basically, he was a graduate student, and he was at a bar in, I think, Boston. I have to get this story straight because I'm supposed to talk about it in like an hour and a half. So by then, I will have read the notes they sent me. But he would go on these research trips for his dissertation and then come back and keep talking about this stuff. And finally, the bartender's like, I'm so tired of you talking to me about this. Why don't you, like, do a presentation and tell everybody, and then we can just stop talking about it. So that's the story. It's kind of origin story of Nerd Night. So it's grown into this international thing. It always happens at bars. That's the key thing to it.
Right.
And it's usually 2, 3, 4 people who get like 20 minutes to talk about their nerdy passions, what their deep, deep knowledge is. It can be super esoteric, super academic, but you only have 20 minutes.
Right.
And it always happens in a bar.
And
it's
going to be fun.
Super
right?
fun.
Like,
it's lighthearted,
really fun,
it's irreverent.
Lighthearted,
but the knowledge is deep. You will leave with some knowledge. So I was involved with a Nerd Night at a previous place where I worked in Kansas, and I've always thought that Nerd Night would do really well in Chapel Hill. So a bunch of us got together, some folks from the library. What do we call ourselves? The Brain Trust? The Nerd Trust?
Yeah, sure.
We had to have a name.
Yeah, nerds. Nerds around a table.
Yeah,
Meg's
we
like,
actually
I have
all
no
talk
idea
about
what you're talking
some
about.
Some were nerds,
right
some were dorks.
Yes.
Yes.
Dweebs. Yes. And we decided to try it here. So the idea is that it was the library and Megan downtown, the Moorhead, UNC Public Humanities, some folks from UNC libraries, but that we would kind of get it launched and sort of care and feed it. But hopefully it'll just become a self-sustaining thing.
Yeah.
So we're launching it tonight, and Meg will talk about the venues and things like that.
Meg, go for it.
Yeah, so it's the second Wednesday of the next 4 months. Mm-hmm. We have four venues booked, four different venues downtown. Tonight it's at the Baxter Bar and Arcade from 7 to 8:30. In October, it's at Imbibe. And yes, there is a Halloween theme so far for the speakers.
Yeah.
In November, it's at Carolina Brewery in their newly renovated upstairs space. And in December, it's at Local 506.
Awesome.
So the idea, again, is we picked a night, a Wednesday night, not known for its largest of activities,
right?
And we wanted to do different venues downtown to bring people. And we think this really hits on a segment of our community that may not be engaging in events, you know, in the evenings at restaurants and bars and entertainment venues, and bring them downtown to enjoy themselves and to gain a little knowledge.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so tonight's event, 7 o'clock. This evening at the Baxter Barcade, and you never need a reason to go to the Baxter in the first place, but tonight especially, what's it going to entail?
So tonight we launch with a theme. So we may not always have a theme.
Yeah.
We're probably totally always going to have a theme.
I love a theme,
right?
Really, actually, no.
Like, get three speakers, have them tell you what their presentation is, and then decide, like, figure out what the connecting thread, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So the first theme is all about music. So it's called Undercurrents, Music in the Masses.
Cool.
And we have three speakers, one of them who just joined us here in the WCHL studios.
Taking over the microphone that Meg subtly shied away from. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Michael, last name is
Palmer. Yeah, there's two Michaels tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm merely one of them.
So there was a little bit of confusion before we started where someone said Michael Palin, and I was like, really?
What?
Wait, no.
Can't fill those shoes.
Get that a lot?
Yeah.
So Michael Palm is one of our speakers. Mm-hmm. And Michael, why don't you talk just a little bit about your topic? Because, I mean, they're all my favorites, but yours is my favorite.
Oh, wow. Well,
Everyone can hear you right now.
If I can't be Michael Palin, I can at least be Susan's favorite.
It's actually better.
Well, I don't know that mine is my favorite, but I am talking about one of my favorite things, which is records. And
ooh, awesome.
In particular, I'm going to discuss the revived popularity of vinyls, as the kids call them these days, and focus on what that renewed interest in this old artifact means for the future of independent music, and in particular, look at how reissued records as a growing sector of the new vinyl culture has become a sort of battlefield between the majors repackaging hits that are still available on radio stations from coast to coast, as well as, you know, used record stores, versus some of the independent labels who are trying to find new audiences for music underappreciated or overlooked in its day, and see in a increasingly digital media landscape what this admittedly circumscribed battlefield between corporate and indie means for the future of independent music
production
writ large.
Awesome. I love the just sort of the evolution of the music store, the record store, in the 1980s, when it was mostly vinyl and a few cassettes over here, and then gradually the cassettes took over the vinyl, and there was a small CD section, and then the CDs took over, so it was nothing but CDs, and now the vinyl is coming back and supplanting the CDs. It's like this really cool full circle-ness to it.
Yeah, and I, you know, the way I'm approaching this, as nerdly as I can be,
in terms,
you know, I'm actually, I've managed to finagle an academic book project out of this,
awesome.
And my, you know, niche or whatever is to approach this from the supply side, because records, you know, get more than their fair share of scholarly as well as popular attention, but everybody focuses on collectors or DJs or record store culture. So I'm looking at how records get from the studio to the record store, and I'm delighted we're doing this. I mean, 506 would be a great place for this music show, but I'm really happy we're doing it at the Baxter, because we're literally, you know, we can see All Day Records from the Baxter, which, you know, Charlie and Ethan have been some of my most valuable sources, as well as, you know, some of my best patrons or merchants in terms of where I like to buy my own records.
This is also sort of the survival of the album as just sort of a concept or a form, right? Because with digital music, just the delivery system, it's single based, it's individual song based, and the record, the vinyl, is where people still appreciate the full length album.
Yeah,
right?
Two comments on that real quick. One is, you know, I said kind of tongue in cheek vinyls earlier, you know, as the millennial lingo for that, but, you know, there's a lot of, you know, among middle aged record lovers like myself, there's a lot of, you know, scoffing at the young generation, and you'll hear people talk about how, you know, these 20 year olds buy records and they don't even have a record player yet, but I think on the one hand you do point to, you know, that the kind of full multimedia experience that an album and the cover art and the paratext and all of that allows, but I also think that people don't necessarily give young consumers enough credit for the, you know, very sophisticated calculus that goes into the relationship between streaming and record buying. And when they buy a record, they're often doing it not because of the warmer sound or one of these audiophile reasons, but because they want to support the musicians that they love, and this is a way to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to have to say, Meg and I looked at each other briefly, and I think we were both thinking the same thing. Nerd badge unlocked. With your use of paratext.
Nerds.
That was awesome.
I've been waiting. You
that
know,
was
I
give, awesome.
I talk about records in a lot of context, and I have to decide when I can unleash the paratext. And I knew this would be a welcome, welcoming environment.
This is perfect. Yes,
this
absolutely.
Is perfect.
I'm ready to get my nerd
that
on.
Was awesome.
I get to be, academic nerd and a record nerd at the same time.
Nice.
So thank you very much, Susan, for inviting me.
Thank you for being a part of this. And I have to give props to this whole team. So Meg booked all the venues and worked all of her downtown magic to get everybody on board. And Emily Jack, in particular, who works at UNC Libraries, basically knew everybody for tonight and worked her angles to get them all here.
Yeah.
So she's done awesome.
Here.
So that's just a little taste. Now, the thing about Nerd Night, and we put this out there, this is the first one, but we are going to be true to this from early on. It's 20 minutes, man.
Yeah,
I hear you.
It's 20 minutes.
I hear you. And
everything that you just said on the air, just assume everyone heard it. Take that out of the presentation, and now you've got 20 full
that's
minutes.
That's the trick about it. Yeah. Everybody gets 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So we will have a little bit of Q&A, but the whole thing is to move on it. And, of course, people can, like, buy you a drink afterwards and learn more about the paratexting
hint,
and the
wing,
vinyls.
Wing, nudge, nudge. I have a lot more about vinyl by just buying Michael a drink afterwards.
Please, please do. I've shot for, like, a 16-minute talk so that I, you knowing that I go over and get excited that hopefully it'll stay at, 19 or 20.
Usually when you get excited, you talk faster, right?
Yeah.
Your 16 minutes
well,
becomes
I don't wanna,
14 or 13.
I don't want to take away time from the other Michael, and especially Jess Dilday, a.k.a. DJ Play, who I'm really looking forward to her talk tonight about club spaces and how they can, provide safe spaces for all kinds
of
communities.
Nice.
And I just like saying her name. Like, if we
DJ
could
Play
use
Play.
Paratext and DJ Play in a sentence together, that would be awesome. So thank you for bringing that up. The other two speakers, and we've got an order on the posters, but we haven't confirmed because sometimes with Nerd Nights, by the time the last speaker goes, people have had a couple rounds.
Yeah,
I'm just
saying. At a certain point,
so
if you haven't said anything,
you.
The order on the poster
is the order.
Yeah.
Right.
People are going to show up thinking, oh, I'm first, therefore I'm first.
See, I usually like to go first just to get it out of the way, but I think tonight I want to go last. So
there you go.
The crowd is extra drunk to hear the presentation.
So the other speakers tonight, as Michael mentioned, are Jess Dilday. Her talk is called The Art of Parties, Building Club Nights and Safer Spaces.
Nice.
And it's going to be pretty much from the description, everything that goes into putting on a club night, but also talking about how to make that safe for partygoers. And she's known as DJ Play, which I love it.
That's good.
And then some folks you'll have some slides and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So lots of times folks bring some slides and some images to help them with their talk. And then I'm not going to say his name right. Mike?
Figueroa,
thank you. His is called Listening to the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict, and this is all about the role that music and musicians have played in the conflict there. So all three things I know nothing about, and I know a bit now because of that awesome talk that you just
about
did.
Paratext.
I know about, I don't actually know what it is, but I can say it, and then people will laugh at me when I say it wrong, but... the whole thing is about getting people together to learn in a different laid-back way, to bring people together at different venues, and have a beverage, right? We can do that. We're adults.
And it's like it's different perspectives on issues that people think about and talk about all the time. So think about like the club scene, but using that as a venue to talk about safe spaces, or thinking about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but looking at it from the perspective of music, like that I think is really cool too.
And do we have our October? So here's one thing. Oh, we do. Oh, Meg. Meg is going to talk a little bit.
I'm all about the theme.
October one. And the other thing that I will say is, if you are listening right now, or you come tonight, and you yourself are a nerd, what we want to do is, in a college town, we really want to balance the folks from the university and then just the folks from
the random
community.
Nerds.
So I've already tapped Aaron. He's totally going to do one. Mm-hmm. I've tapped a lot of people I know who aren't professors or teachers, they are nerds. So if you're listening and you would think and you are passionately nerdy about something and you are comfortable getting up in front of a crowd of strangers and talking about it for 20 minutes, get in touch with one
Come
of us.
Talk
that,
to
I
us.
Think, is actually the more limiting factor for Chapel Hill residents. Like, yeah, we're all nerds. Now it's just a matter of who's good at public speaking, right?
Well,
right.
Yeah. We're going to find out soon.
Yeah.
So, you want to talk about October? We don't have everything tied up, but we're getting close.
We do have somebody who, so with the Halloween theme, we have somebody who makes things for haunted houses.
Okay.
We have somebody potentially who does costume design for theatrical productions.
Nice.
And potentially somebody in the candy making industry.
And maybe a tarot card reader,
maybe,
right?
Yeah. Oh,
a tarot card historian or something.
There you go. So you get that vibe there, that October vibe. So that's what we're looking at.
I like that.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. What else do people need to know? Where can they go to find out information, anything like that?
Oh, we're on the Twitter and the Facebook.
The
kids space. With the vinyls. We're on the Twitter. So we are Nerd Night CH. We are at
Twitter.
Nerd Night CH on Twitter.
That's there N-I-T-E, right?
Yes. Correct.
Yes, thank
N-I-T-E.
You. Yeah.
And Nerd Night Chapel Hill on Facebook.
Awesome.
And I just want to say that the poster is sharp. And one of the grad students in the department I teach in said that he forwarded it around on the Twitter and told people that they should come if they're in the Moog. So I thought that was particularly appropriately nerdful part.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes. I know D and G are only two spaces apart. That could just have been a really convenient typo.
So the other thing, that's another shout out to Daniel Seiler, a.k.a. the marketing dude, who often texts me on this program when
Daniel
I say
Seiler,
things wrong.
MD.
Yes. He was the mastermind behind that poster. So this really has been a group effort of all of these folks. And you'll see on there, we don't have everybody's logo because we don't want this to be about the people that got it together. We just want it to be about the event.
Mm-hmm.
So the hosts might change and evolve. But cool. So what to know? We're on the Twitter. We're on the Facebook. It's tonight at 7 at the Baxter.
Yep.
My goal is to start right at 7. So if you want to come and grab a seat, I would say get there 6:30, right. Quarter of 7.
There you go.
And it's the first one. It's going to be super fun.
Very cool. Meg, Michael, Susan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. 4:49 here on the Hill. We'll be back with Osgood next.
Thank you.